welcome into another edition of The Session with Londa and David. My name is David Austin, and sitting across from me, as usual, is the prettiest little badass I know. And the reason I say that is because my beautiful bride sitting across from me is wearing a necklace that says badass.
It does. It's a gold bar necklace that says badass.
And Is gold bar descriptive or
see
is
how
that
it's a gold bar?
Yes. So it's not like who made it.
No, I hopefully by the end of the podcast, I'll remember where I got it from.
Okay. Yeah.
Her name is Sarah. Badass Jewelry might be the
it
name
could
of her
be
company.
Badass Jewelry. It could be. I don't know. But it's a really cool necklace, and it's got a delicate chain because you're delicate, so I really like it. I like looking at you and your delicate little features, and we're going to stop talking about that right now.
Perfect. I think everyone would appreciate
because
that.
Because nobody needs me to go on and on and on and on about how beautiful I think you are.
But I love it, just not in this format.
Well, I'm glad you like it. So, moving on. This is going to kind of be a fun episode for me of
super
the
fun
podcast because you had this idea driving into work today about what are some old sayings, old school sayings that we learned when we were kids growing up in business.
Yeah.
And I think that's a super fun topic. And you know what? We may, once we know how to do this as a live stream or a Facebook Live or a YouTube Live, we may want to open this up for discussion.
I actually think that would be a really great idea because we came up with a few,
right,
that we're going to kind of throw around today. But I know there's people out there that have got like things like dad-isms and things their manager told them in 1976, you know, that kind of stuff. And I love talking about those because a lot of them are still really appropriate, really good. Well, I don't know if they're appropriate. Some of them are inappropriate, but really good advice for today. And also what got me started thinking about this is when we did the workshop for the stylists at the salon in Washington last week, they're younger, right? And under 30.
Right.
And they were blown away by a lot of the things that we shared, and a lot of it is tried and true business practices. But, like, I mean, we killed at that event because they thought we were hilarious because they'd never heard so much of this before. So
that's exactly right.
I think this is good to share. I'm excited to share this stuff, and it's fun.
What? I think it's super fun, too, and that, to me, is the reason I do this program. I love doing it because it reminds me of when I was a professional broadcaster 20 years ago, you know, and it reminds
me. Or 30.
Yeah, I was a professional broadcaster 30 years ago as
well,
but I walked away.
David Austin.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I've had two careers in my life.
In the way back.
In my young adult life, for 15 years, I was a broadcaster. Mm-hmm. And then after broadcasting, I became a mortgage lender and have been doing that for longer. So do I still consider myself a broadcaster or do I consider myself a mortgage lender? Neither is the answer. I consider myself
my eye candy.
Well, that's very nice. No, I consider myself a student of people and a problem solver. I love people.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I love learning in every conversation I have.
Yeah.
And that's perfect because these old school sayings are how we learned early on in our lives.
And that reminds me of one that I didn't make a note on, but that I know. If you learn more about people than you do your product or service, you'll be unusually successful.
You know what? That's great to start. That's not one you wrote down, but that's absolutely true. If you learn about the customer.
Yeah.
That's way more important than product knowledge.
Right. And I think that was Howard Schultz's entire philosophy of Starbucks was being customer focused and customer centric.
I think that's great. I think it was kind of goofy when they started putting the names on cups, though. It makes you feel inclusive and included unless your name is spelled wrong.
Well, and there's a theory behind that. And the theory is that if they spell your name in a ridiculous way, people take pictures of it and post it on social media and tag Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
And so the theory is they started doing that on purpose for marketing.
Well, that's interesting. Then they should do that with every name, not just exotic names. Like mine should be the word.
They don't do it with exotic names.
Mine should be the word day and then vid.
Yeah.
And that'd be cute. And I would do that, you know, because David, everybody knows that name.
Well, that's the whole joke is they don't do it with exotic names. They do it with like Mary and crazy names.
Well, they should do it with David, right?
Yeah.
David.
They do.
Never been done. I'm going to talk to our kids that are baristas about this.
Yes.
And I'm going to make sure that happens.
Well, you can write a strongly worded email and send it. But one that we were just talking about was one that your dad used to say at his Kentucky Fried Chicken stores. You learned it from him. I learned it from a manager that I had way back, I think at my very first job.
And I think every fast food employee ever has heard this.
Well, I don't know, but
I think everyone has, and that is, if you have time to lean, you have time to clean.
Yes. And I thought of it because I just had this happen at the salon where I go to get my nails done.
Okay. They are beautiful, by the way.
Thank you. They are black this time with a party nail, as you call it.
I do like the party nail.
Sparkles. Anyway, the salon where I go is a standalone Regal nail salon in Lakeland.
Isn't it the only standalone Regal nail salon? Isn't that what she said?
I believe so.
They're all in Walmart. They're in all the Walmarts across the nation.
Right. And they were a standalone salon to begin with. And then the landlord said, hey, we want you to be a franchise. And so that's when they became a part of the Regal family. Anyway, it's the cleanest salon I've ever been in. And there's always someone cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
And I never see people standing around. The technicians or stylists or whatever you call them, I'm not sure what the proper term is, but the people who work there are never just standing around doing nothing. They're always cleaning. And it shows because it is such a beautiful salon. And
right. And
I love it. And so I was telling, had occasion to speak with the manager about she was doing my nails actually. And so we're chatting about it, and I said, gosh, I just love this salon, and one of the things I love so much about it is how clean it is. And she said, well, I am very meticulous about that because I want the customers to have the experience of being in a really, really clean, shiny, professional-looking place, but I also expect my employees to be busy all the time.
Yeah.
And there's always something to clean.
Well, you know, I had an experience when I went with you to a different nail salon several months ago, and I was furious because here I am trying to enjoy myself. I've got my feet in this whirlpool spa.
Yeah, you were getting yourself a little petty.
Uh-huh. And the bubbles and the heat, and it's beautiful. And this dude comes out of the back, sits down one chair away from me, turns on his YouTube, and starts watching some kind of sports videos in a language I don't recognize. And I think it was German, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was like you'd picture Vietnamese maybe at a salon. No, it was like some, I don't know why you're looking at the camera. you picture, you have specific things going on in your brain, so you're shocked to hear some guy go "Und sind wie kicks die Ball?" Anyway, in German, it sounds angry to me. That's why I did that. Anyway, he had it turned up all the way.
Yeah,
and he was on a break. I got news for you. There were dust bunnies all behind the chairs.
Yeah,
and instead of watching a video that's annoying, the audio's annoying to your customers who are paying money, how about you take a break in the back or instead put in earbuds and clean the damn place? I mean, it was terrible.
Yeah.
And we've never gone back there since that day.
Right. And we talk about this one all the time, though. If you got time to lean, you got time to clean.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important. The presentation, we just talked about presentation a couple weeks ago, personal presentation. But the presentation of your facility is really important. And I went back to that salon because it's tidy, it's clean. Then I found out they're really good at what they do, too.
That's exactly right.
So that's one right there.
That's good. If you've got time to lean, you've got time to clean.
Yeah.
Let's hear another one, because I don't know what you've got written down there.
Yeah. Well, I remember a manager I had one time who said to me, you know, if you spent the time that you spend complaining actually working and getting better at your job, you'd be amazing. You'd be my best employee. And you heard a similar thing, but said a little bit differently.
Yeah, if you spent less time talking and more time working, you'd be a rock star.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm a little bit of a chatterbox.
As am I. And I used to chatter negatively, right? I'd complain a lot. I didn't. From that day forward, I stopped a lot of my, you know, workplace complaining. And that's a really good point that you brought up just a few minutes ago, that complaining is cancer.
Absolutely. If you have, I went to a sales seminar that was put on by Shea Frechette in the Tri-Cities. It was for the Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. And she talked about team dynamics. And one of the people on the team is the saboteur. And that's a real thing, that in most team situations, there's one person who just doesn't get it, who just doesn't believe the vision, who it works against it.
That's you can have team members that don't believe in it, but the saboteur is always the person who's actually, as my dad used to say, stirring the pot.
Yes.
And often a family dynamic has one of those as well. You got the pot stirrer.
Right.
You know, that's, and in a workplace, you got to get rid of that person.
Yes,
and
because frankly, that's a cancer at a workplace for sure. You've got to cut that out.
And I don't care if they're your top producer.
Right.
You got to get rid of them, because it's going to affect the entire culture of the place. So
yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you've got somebody who's complaining all the time, you know, it's just like the old saying, surround yourself with people that you want to be like, and you'll be more like them.
Yeah.
If you surround yourself with down in the mouth complainers, you'll start to believe it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Negativity is, a virus.
Yeah. And it's, you can catch it.
Right.
Like the cancer.
So mask up. I don't know. Let's talk about a term that is used by one of your mentors and is becoming one of my mentors, Les Savage.
Ooh, okay.
We love. I love this term that he uses. He takes people, potential clients I think for their first meeting.
I know where you're going.
Okay.
The informal chat.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's
Tell
a great.
Tell me more about that.
Well, the informal chat, he was the builder and I was the lender, and we would coach the sales team, which was realtors, at every sales meeting. And one of the things that he thinks is a great equalizer to make customers feel more comfortable is the informal chat. And a lot of salespeople, you know, realtors specifically, are usually independent contractors. Mm-hmm. So they don't like having a boss.
Right.
So, you know, you really kind of have a tightrope act that you're doing when you have realtors on your sales team as a builder.
Right.
And as his preferred lender for 15 years, I was a part of that sales coaching system. And we instituted that. Each customer that comes through the model home, you don't just try to gather their information.
Right.
You always try to schedule the next appointment, right? And the first formal appointment is the informal chat. And that you essentially invite them out of the model home where you are. That's a very...
like to a coffee shop.
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's no time that they're going to be more excited about getting to know you than the point of sale. And that's when they're in the model home. So if you suggest anything, they're more willing to give it to you at that moment than if they get out of the house and they're down the road. So he always recommends schedule an informal chat. And what that is, we go to Starbucks, which is a neutral location, and have a conversation about them. At that conversation, you can ask them about not how many bedrooms and bathrooms do you want? Because that's, you know, sticks and bricks. You ask them about how they're going to live in the home.
Yeah, the why of home buying much more important than the what, because, you know, how they're going to use the space is important. I heard it like this. It's a chat. I mean, not a chat, a get together.
Okay,
let's
yes.
Let's schedule a get together.
Sure.
It's the same thing as the informal chat. And whenever I have a real estate client that I haven't met yet, because, you know, they call or they email and we chat back and forth, and let's say we're setting up showings. So somewhere in the middle of those showings, I'll build in time to, like, go hit a coffee shop. And that's my get-together, you know, my
your informal chat. It's informal absolutely chat. Critical because you're in a neutral location and you're not talking particulars.
Right.
You're getting to know the person. And that's in every sales situation. I don't care if you're cutting hair or if you're selling nuclear fuel rods to France. It needs to be relational.
Right. Absolutely.
If it's not relational, you're missing the mark. And you may get a deal, but you won't get repeat business.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And when we were talking to those kids at the hair salon the other day, and I said every haircut needs to be three haircuts, they looked at me like I was crazy. And it's just like with loans. If you do a loan for somebody during the process, you need to say, who do you know? I want you to listen to conversations at work about people who may need to refinance or have a housing problem. If you don't coach your customers on how to use you, you're missing future business.
And that's another one of these points. Your next deal is in your current deal.
That's
absolutely
true.
Something I've learned for years and years and years, and you just spoke to that really, really well.
Okay.
Let's have some fun. Go to Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, let me tell you, when he's coaching his team and he's standing up there and he's talking about, can't afford to pay your rent? Great. Pick up the phone. That is some of the best sales training I've ever seen.
Yep.
In fact, Les Savage and I, about 6 months ago, sat in our basement and watched it and drank scotch. And we paused it, rewound it, and watched it like four times because that is spectacular sales training.
Yeah.
Can't afford to pay your rent? Great. Pick up the phone.
Right. You got credit cards overdue? Great. Pick up the phone.
Yep. That's exactly right. And that is awesome because if you're in any kind of sales environment, if you're at Supercuts and you're waiting for somebody to walk in the door, if you're at a car lot and you're sitting there waiting for ups to come on the lot and you say things like, and I've heard car people say this a million times, and I won't work with that salesperson that says, oh, the lot's dead today.
Yeah, well,
guess what?
What are you going to do?
Pick
about
up the
it?
Phone.
Yeah,
pick up you know, the phone. Call your past customers. That's easy. That's an easy database, right?
It is. And
say these words.
I was
going to
say, what do you say? Go ahead.
Well,
I know what you're going to say, but
go tell me what good. I'm going to say. No, I want to hear it. No.
Go.
Hey, here's one thing to say. Hey, Joe, I'm just calling to check on that F-150 you bought 3 weeks ago. I'm curious to know how you're liking it. How are you liking it, Joe?
Love it. I love it so much. Makes me feel like big shit.
okay. That makes sense. Joe, I have a question. It is dead on the lot today, and I need your help.
Oh, okay.
I need to get in front of anybody you know who said to you, man, I love your truck and wish I had one.
Boom. Yep.
That guy that you just connected with, Joe, who feels like big shit in his F-150, is super excited to tell you now, every single person who has said, man, I love your truck. What kind of lift kit do you got?
Yeah.
He's not only gonna tell you who they are, he's going to call them and get you on that call with them.
Yeah, if your place where you work is dead, pick up the phone. And people don't want to make phone calls so much anymore. Mm-hmm. And it is still, I will say, one of, if not the most powerful thing you can do. Because in today's environment, if you're calling someone, they think it's an emergency.
Right.
And you know what? It is. Because guess what? You can't pay your bills.
pick up the phone.
Exactly.
You know, I have always, when I train people, I tell them, write down your 100 favorite people and their phone numbers.
And this is
numbers.
Another point. Yep.
And you write down who they are. Your 100 favorite people who love you. Mm-hmm. If you have a flat tire, who are you going to call? Mm-hmm. That person should be on that list of your 100 people. And when you are new at a business or business is slow, you call those people and you say, hey, I need your help. Mm-hmm. Those people will stop what they're doing, focus on what you're saying, and get excited about helping you.
There's three key parts to it. Mm-hmm. There's the initial greeting when you call them. And if you don't know what to say, because you haven't talked to them in a while, I want you to go look at their social media and figure out what's new in their life. Oh, that'll give you something to say to them.
Yep.
Right? It's breaking the ice, building rapport. That's the first part. The second part of that is, I need your help.
Mm-hmm.
And the third part is, who do you know?
That's great. It's that simple. It is that simple.
It really is.
Okay, what's the next one on your list?
treat people how you want to be treated.
I love that. It's the golden rule. Treat people how you want to be treated makes a ton of sense to me. And if you're nice to people, mm-hmm. they'll be nice to you.
Right.
If you're a jerk to people, they're going to be a jerk to you.
Right.
So, you know,
And I've heard it a couple other ways. One is treat people how you treat your mom.
Okay.
Or treat people how you want your mom to be treated.
Okay.
And I've heard also treat people how they want to be treated.
Well, see, that's different. That's a different theory, right? Mm-hmm. And that's new theory. And
it's a little
newer,
yeah.
And that is relational. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to know this person to treat them how they want to be treated.
Yeah, and you better get to know them. And if you don't know how to get people, you can take our workshop. But, you know.
That's right.
Yeah,
but
where we dig into how to really get people to tell you everything that you need to know about them. But if I could boil it all down to one point,
yes,
be really naturally curious about people. If you care about people, you want to know about them.
I would say further, if you're not naturally curious about people, sales is not for you.
Yeah, you either... You better be naturally curious or learn how to be naturally curious.
Well, you can't learn how to be naturally curious. You can
learn how to be curious.
You can.
You actually can. Over time, you can retrain your brain.
Oh, I gotcha.
Right?
I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Retrain your brain to have different habits.
Exactly.
You learn to be naturally curious.
Yeah.
That to me would be unnaturally curious, but that's okay. It works. So yeah, you can definitely rewire pathways in your brain and have different thoughts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
God, I hope so.
Well, I hope so too.
That's what my therapist tells me anyway.
Okay. So treat people how you want to be treated.
Yep. So another one would be mirror your client.
We do that all the time on the show. We mirror our client. That's a good one.
Well, it is a good one. And you have to be careful.
Right.
Because you don't want, you know, you want to be authentic. Don't make it creepy. If you overdo it,
then they'll know.
It's going to be just weird and creepy. The reason that you try to mirror your client,
yes,
is to make them feel more comfortable. It needs to be empathy based.
I gotcha.
I want to make you feel seen and heard. I want you to feel more comfortable. And so I mirror you.
And there's a way to do it so that it's a subconscious thing and the person feels good about it.
Yeah.
And then there's a way to do it where they feel like you're mocking them.
Yeah. And
so
and,
that it's a fine line.
I guess there's two sides of this coin.
Okay.
So mirroring them. And the other thing, if you can't do that, you don't have that skill, you haven't built that skill yet, or every time you try to do it, you know, as you're trying to learn it, it comes out weird and creepy because you practice it on your friends and family.
Yes.
You know, but the other thing you can do is at least don't do the opposite. And what I mean by that is if you're sitting across someone who is very soft-spoken.
Don't get loud.
And they don't talk with their hands or body. Then simply rein yourself in. If you're a hand and body talker, I'm kind of a full body talker and I can get really loud. If I don't notice anything else, just subdue that a little bit.
I was given great advice in interviewing years and years and years ago in broadcast. And when you're with a personality like that, this is what I was told to do. Get smaller.
Yeah.
That's
exactly right.
Actually, Bill Branton told me to get smaller. If the person
That's
was
great
neat,
advice.
You can't run over the top of them.
Right.
You got to get smaller.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm thinking about personality types. The two that are naturally smaller,
mm-hmm.
if you don't get smaller, they're going to either be afraid of you
mm-hmm.
or lose respect for you.
It's interesting. Another thing that I do, and I don't mean to, and you've heard me do it, like when I go home to Lafayette, I sound much more Cajun.
Yes, you do.
Because I just, something happens in my brain and I talk like the person that I'm with. And I do it with every person. And it has nothing to do with nationality or regionality or ethnicity. It has to do with my brain just goes into the place.
Brain slides into other people's space really easily.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, you know, if I were followed around for 24 hours by a TV camera crew, you would see it happen in real time.
Well, you'd see a lot.
You know what I mean, though? You'd
no,
learn something?
True.
You'd learn something.
As you say, you'd learn something. Yeah.
But yeah, I do that, and I don't even mean to do it. I've tried not to do it, and I can't. But I'll never forget when we were driving from New Orleans. We'd been in Louisiana for 24 hours.
You're going to tease me about this forever.
I'm not teasing you, but you did it. You turned into a little old Cajun lady when the trees were close to the road, and you said a little old Cajun lady, like a little tiny old lady who's Cajun. And you did, meh, them trees are close. And you weren't trying to do it. You just did it. And I laughed for 20 minutes.
Yeah. You did. Another one is objections or questions.
And objections or opportunities.
Yes. Yep.
And, you know, I had one sales manager years ago. And I don't remember, Rebecca Breeding would remember his name. His name was Michael, and he printed his own book of objections, and it was every radio sales objection you get. Mm-hmm. And he was really, he came from North Carolina, from one of the, like Raleigh, Durham, a good fast paced media market.
Okay.
And he brought with him like three guys from that market who were all really good salespeople. And they followed him because he was, you know, their mentor. He was the guy.
Right.
Well, he always said, I love getting a no because it's an opportunity to sell. And I've from all the salespeople that have mentored me in my life, I've taken little bits and pieces. That was his. The objections are an opportunity.
Yep. And you can get, there's a lot of different sales trainers that sell books that have like list an objection and then ways to answer that objection. But honestly, the way that I learned it better than any other way, and this will be a great tip for people listening, is when you get an objection that you don't know how to overcome, when you're done with that appointment, write that down. And in your off time, go back and review that and just think, how do I overcome that? How do I never get in that situation again?
I got you.
What are some, if I were the customer, what are some things I would have wanted to hear in that situation? And then just think it through, talk it through, work it through. And I learned a lot that way, you know, because you do get in those situations and you get stuck as a salesperson and you're like, well, I got nothing for that. But then you have to, instead of being, you know, defeated, you go, okay, how do I make that never happen again?
Right. Yeah. That's good. I like that. I don't remember that guy's last name. So Rebecca, will you message me that guy's last name? I feel bad that I don't remember. That's it for that.
One of your favorites that you have, I've heard you say it to every one of our kids. I've heard you say it to lots of young people.
Ooh, is it
in
off
business.
Color?
It's a little, it could go a little sideways here, folks. I don't know where this is going to go.
I know what you're saying.
But it had, yeah.
Mike Mitchell told this to me because I was eyeing one of the sales girls at our radio station.
Of course you were.
And he goes, "Hey, bub, I got a piece of advice for you." I said, "Okay, Mike, what is it?" He goes, "Bub, never get your meat where you get your bread."
And tell us what that means.
Well, it means don't date the staff. Don't have a workplace relationship, because it rarely ever ends well.
Right.
And you know what? I haven't always followed that advice, I'll be honest. I have gotten my meat where I've gotten my bread, and it is always scary and tenuous when it's, when it's, because I know if it ends, it will end badly.
Mm-hmm.
If you date someone where you work,
right,
and say you guys don't see eye to eye on something, now you've got friction at work.
Right.
It's a simple lesson and a great lesson. Never get your meat where you get your bread. A lot of people say
you
that.
You cleaned that up really nicely. You didn't, I thought it was going to be a lot.
Well, I wasn't going to tell my Don Allen story, but now that we're on it, should I tell that story?
I don't think so. Here I was so relieved.
That I didn't tell my Don Allen. Okay, so I'm going to tell my Don Allen story now.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Don is a great broadcaster. And when I started at News Radio KPEL, he, Jay Walker, who you've met.
Yes.
And Ray Sutley. You've met Ray as well. He's now deceased. And Justine, his wife, we communicate with her regularly still, which is great. Anyway, so they were the broadcast team on the USL radio network, the Ragin' Cajuns. So okay. They were like heroes to me. And Don was the dad of one of my classmates. Mm-hmm. So he was larger than life, because he was a real life person that I knew, and he was a broadcast star to me. Mm-hmm. And Jay, Ray, and Don were all stars to me. I mean, starstruck. All That's right. how I was. So I was doing a Saturday morning show on the Light Rock station. I was filling in for Tom Mitchell from time to time and spending a lot of time with him. He did a show called Love Songs at Night on 99.9 KTDY. And I was the nighttime news guy at KPEL. So I always, to get extra money, would do radio remotes, right? Mm-hmm. And I did the 10 to 2 shift on the Light Rock station on Saturdays to fill out my 40 hours. So anyway, for some weird reason, girls started hitting on me, and I don't know why. I don't know why, but I would like go out and do a broadcast at a live remote, and I'd have like a girl give me her phone number.
Yeah,
and so I
don't know why.
I was like, it's pretty cool, but I need some advice. So I went to Don Allen and said, "Don, I really need to talk to you." He goes, "Yes, David, yes, what is it?" And I said,
How old were you at this time now?
19, maybe 20. Anyway, I say, "Yeah, it's the craziest thing. I've got these girls calling the request line, or, you know, when I go do a remote, give me their phone numbers. What should I do?" And I'm waiting for him to tell me something like, "Never mix business with pleasure." That's what I'm thinking he's going to say. And instead, his advice was, "Wear a condom." So I did.
Oh, wow.
That's exactly what I did. Not long after that, I got the Mike Mitchell conversation. "Hey, bub. Never get your meat where you get your bread."
Which was better advice.
Way better
advice. I mean, both were good.
Well, for a 19-year-old boy who's going through some stuff, Don's advice was great. But Mike's was better for business.
I don't know where to go from here. I can't.
Mike's was better for business. Also, once I got sued by a listener, and Mike Mitchell pulled me into his office, and I didn't know why I was getting sued. It was dumb. I did a radio contest, and the lady was a jeweler. And I said, and it was recorded, and she knew she was being recorded. She said she made jewelry. And I said, "Oh, so how does that work?" And she said, "Oh, well, you know, people bring me like their diamonds, and they want me to fashion jewelry out of it." And I said, "Oh, you ever want to sneak off with the diamonds?" And she said, "Oh, no, you're so silly, blah, 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 blah." I played that on the air, and she said I libeled her business by implying she steals diamonds. And When I found out about this, of course, I'm devastated because I would never say something accusational. And I went into Mike Mitchell's office because he was the general manager. Mm-hmm. Talk about a guy that I love still all the time. And he sat me down and he said, David, listen, I want you to know that we've been sued. And he says, you don't have air checks of your show last Saturday, do you? And I said, well, yeah, I do. He said, no, you don't. You don't have air checks of your show last Saturday, do
wow.
you? And I said, no, I guess not. And he goes, listen, a lawyer has reached out to us. This lady who sues everybody, I don't even know what her name was, but she sued everybody in town, is threatening a lawsuit because she won a contest and you made a joke. And I said, yeah. And he says, listen, I don't want you to beat yourself up over this. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, I once got the station fined when I was on KSMB years before, and he was, you know, right there, Jay Walker and Ray Sutley, all on mm-hmm. KSMB years before. And he said he got in trouble because Mary Gallion, who you've also met, mm-hmm. was there, and she said something to him, or he said something to her, and she didn't hear him. And he goes, hey, Mary, get that banana out of your ear. And somebody thought that was a penis reference, not at all related to a penis. He meant get that banana out of your ear and listen to me.
Which is like an old saying that people used to say.
Absolutely. But he got in trouble for that. So he wanted me to not take it personally that something I said off color on the air got me in trouble. And that was wonderful for my career because that could have devastated me.
Well, and I think that's a good point to bring up. Because I know people who get really offended when they get corrected by mm-hmm. their management or, mm-hmm. you know, they get written up or they, you know, and it's just devastating to them. And you got to remember, all of that is going to play into your life. So just calm down. It's going to be okay. It's going to play into the next thing.
And I was indignant about them settling that with her. They gave her $1,000 to go away. If they had gone through the attorney, mm-hmm. it would have cost $1,000 to get the advice. Give her $1,000 so it'll go away. So they gave her $1,000 and it went away.
Nice.
And I did not get written up over that. He just wanted me to feel good. So he made me feel better by telling me that story. I'll never forget. Get the banana out of your ear. All of a sudden they're in trouble because he's making dick jokes on the air.
But it wasn't.
Not a dick joke at all. I don't know why I just said it over and over.
I don't either, and I'm really uncomfortable now, and I apologize.
I need to call Mike. I need to call him.
Well, that. How about you smile and dial?
That's another smile one. And dial is a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're not smiling when you're talking to people, they can tell.
That was something I learned way, way back in the beginning of my sales. I mean, wait, like 18 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yep, smile and dial.
People can hear a smile through the phone.
Well, Mike Mitchell's son, Tom Mitchell, who in my broadcast career was my best buddy growing up, right, in the business, he gave me a trick that I think Daryl Parks taught him, and that is when you dial a phone, when you say a phone number on the air, pretend you're dialing it. It doesn't translate well now, but if you go 509-491-2663, you are doing it in the rhythm of dialing it. And people,
well, that's interesting.
And people feel like they're with you on that, and I still do it to this day. And it's been, you know, 30 years.
Yes,
I can't do math. I'm 49, so it's 30. It's been 30 years.
Yeah, it's all right. You're a lender who can't do math. You have a calculator, a fancy calculator that helps you do math.
That's exactly right. My friend Scott Hamburg, though, he can do complex equations in his head. Not a lender. There you go. That's all I have about that. Keep going. What's the next one?
Everyone is in sales.
Everyone is in sales.
You show me a career, and I'll show you how they're in sales.
Absolutely. Shoeshine boy.
Well, that's easy. That's an easy one. But I've had people say things like, well, I'm a mom. If you think that you're not selling those kids every day on doing everything that you want them to
do. Why do I have to brush my teeth?
You're selling them on brushing their teeth. Mm-hmm. You're selling them on making their bed. You're mm-hmm. selling them on eating their vegetables. You're selling them on getting up and going to school. You're pitching those kids all the time. And let me tell you, if you want to make life easier for you, get better at sales.
Learn
how to pitch and close those kids.
So that's great. That's absolutely true. Yeah. And I never would have thought about that. Never.
Yep.
But the other piece of that is, no matter what your position is in a company, you need to sell from within.
Tell me more about that.
Well, I'll never forget my dear friend, Jorge Jaque, said to me once, "David, it's not fair how the underwriter takes your files out of order and works on them." And I said, okay.
Oh, like they move you to the top of the list.
That's exactly right.
Of course.
And what
they
I was doing was selling from within. So I would get to know all of my underwriters. This was 20 years ago in lending. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would get to know my underwriters. And at that point, there was more separation. Mortgage companies have been more sales-centric in the last 5 to 10 years than they were then.
Okay.
Then sales was one thing. Operations was another thing.
Okay.
Never the twix shall meet. Now at my company, Envoy, when a loan is approved, the underwriter calls me to tell me it's approved. Mm-hmm. That is great service, right?
So how did you sell from within?
Well, what I did there was when I had a file that I needed to get through and I needed to rush it, I would call the underwriter who lived in Walla Walla and worked in Walla Walla,
Washington.
Mm-hmm, right there on 2nd and Main.
Mm-hmm.
That Home Loan Center location, which is now Prime Fund. I don't know what it is. Anyway, that's not my concern. I don't work for that company anymore. Mm-hmm. But I would drive to that office during lunch. I'd call the underwriter and say, "Hey, I need a favor. What do you want for lunch today?" "Oh, David, you don't need to buy me lunch." No. "I have a file that I need a second set of eyes on. So I want to drive to you, bring you whatever lunch you want so that you can spend time with me and go over it with me. Would you be willing to do that?"
Beautiful.
What underwriter says no to you coming to see me and bringing me lunch?
The way that you said it, though, is magic.
Well, Jorge was frustrated because his files weren't getting reviewed the same way, but it's because he was following the system. He was not selling from within.
Right.
Now, let me tell you a little something about Jorge Jaque. He is one of the most talented video producers I have ever met. He right now runs the video production for the largest Spanish-speaking Seventh-day Adventist television network in the world.
Wow.
So that guy has some super cool talent. And when he heard our first podcast, he said to me, "Love you, brother. That was great. You should find a way to do it on television. I can help if you need help." And that's why we do it on YouTube, because of Jorge Jaque.
That's fun.
That's why I'm doing
this
with you on
YouTube. That's a
really
fun story. I didn't know that.
Yep. Love that guy. Love, love, love that guy. Mm-hmm. His nephew, Carlos, who I worked with as well, that guy sold from within. He was more movie shaky, salesy than Jorge was. And Jorge had a great mortgage career until he went back to what brought him to America, and that was video production.
Another way that you can sell from within is, and I want to go back to the stylists in the salon that we did the workshop for.
Yep.
They're independent contractors, right? So we talked about I actually opened the workshop with getting them to tell me how they want people to feel when they come into the salon, because it's a new salon.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about kind of the collective vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool because they had not had this conversation among themselves, but there was a very clear common thread among what all of them said, and it was diversity.
Okay.
And they said, we want our clients to span a large array of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want
everybody to look the same.
Yeah, we don't want everyone to look the same. Like, we're not the salon that's known for this one thing.
Right.
We're
hot blonde soccer mom haircuts. That's not all they
do.
They can do that. That's not all they do, right? There's a salon in town that every girl has the Jennifer Aniston haircut and color and looks just like that.
And so for them, it was really important that in their salon, everyone feels welcome.
I like that.
Everyone is welcome. And so, and one of the ways they can sell from within in that vein is be hyping up the other stylists.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
givers gain.
Exactly.
That is the BNI, Business Networking International slogan, givers right. gain.
Right. And thinking about not only how they can build their own business, but how can they build the business of the stylist across from them? And if right. someone's sitting in the chair getting their hair done and you think of an upsell,
mm-hmm.
you know, another service that that person could be provided.
Right.
Then say something.
Well, it's,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And hype up that stylist. And that was, we kind of talked a little bit about that, and it was kind of a revelation for at least one of the stylists in there
yeah.
that hadn't thought about how, if they all win,
yes,
he wins when they all win.
It's just like what you say to me, and you say it all the time, is if it's not good for one of us, it's not good for either of us.
Right. That's kind of a foundational principle of our relationship.
Right. That's
if
exactly
it doesn't
right.
work for both of us, it doesn't work for either of us.
I love that.
We say
and
it
it's
all
true.
The time. And
it's
if you have a business
true.
Partnership, it's got to be the same way.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. If you've got a team, it's got to be the same way.
Yeah.
And we'll leave with this. Everyone you know should know who you are and what you do.
That's exactly right. If you're not telling everyone who you are and what you do,
yep.
how can you be mad
well, who
when
do
they
I
don't
tell?
Use you?
Well, is everyone, in your cell phone, in your cell phone, every contact on your social media.
Every person you run into at the grocery store.
Yep.
Barry Habib used to give his business card every single time he went into New York City to those transit people, and he became
yep.
the lender to the transit authority.
Yep.
I mean, it's great. It's great business.
Yep.
Tell people
who you
are
and
what you
do.
This is fun information.
This is great.
We haven't even gone through your entire list.
Nope. And I think we should definitely do a live so people can write in with their sayings.
I'm going to buy
That's gonna be
a live stream camera and figure out how to do this. And we're going to do that.
Yes. So stay tuned.
Yep. There you go.
This was fun.
Yeah. I love doing this with you. And boy, I just love spending time with you. What a treat this is every single time we do it.
Absolutely.
My name is David Austin. And sitting across from me, as always, Londa Sherwood Austin. This has been The Session with Londa and David.